Hello, everybody. I'm going to be talking about living mulches and micro-irrigation for reducing runoff and erosion in strawberry berry transplant establishment. Strawberries use two different kinds of irrigation, typically, the berry root kind. So then this is a berry root strawberry transplant. They plant it in the top of the row. And then people would use overhead irrigation in order to establish it to keep the plant cool and then also for frost protection during the winter. And then drip irrigation throughout the season. After the plants have been established, it would switch on. In Hillsborough County, where most of the strawberries are grown, there's a period of time for a couple weeks where all of the strawberry growers are using water all at once. And this can lead to runoff and erosion as a concern. This may be associated also with water level drawdowns and local flooding. The water accumulates in the row middles until the water saturates the soil or it crusts, and then this can cause runoff and erosion. One potential way to address this problem is to use microsprinklers. Low volume irrigation decreases the volume of water and also decreases the runoff and erosion as a result. They've also been used successfully in California to cool strawberry plants during establishment. Another potential thing that people can do to ameliorate runoff and erosion is living mulches. And living mulches are cover crops that are planted before or with the main crop. But the thing that makes them definitionally distinct from cover crops is that part of their life cycle will be concurrent with the cash crop. They have been reported to decrease runoff and erosion and also to increase infiltration of excess surface waters. We were concerned about nematode pests for our study, so we selected non-hosts for our study. Sting nematode is actually the number one strawberry pest in Florida, and 40% of Florida's strawberry acreage is infested. This can lead to yield losses of up to 21% in a heavily infested field. So the objectives for our study were to compare the effects of irrigation volume and living mulches on runoff, erosion, infiltration, and also to evaluate strawberry growth and yield response to irrigation volume and living mulches. Our hypotheses were that the microsprinklers would decrease runoff erosion and infiltration compared to impact sprinklers, and also that the living mulches would decrease runoff and erosion and promote infiltration. And then finally, neither irrigation volume nor the living mulch treatment would have any effect on strawberry yield and growth parameters. Our research site was at the Plant Science Research and Education Unit in Citra, Florida. It's one of the research units for the University of Florida. Our planting dates for the living mulches was near the end of September in the first year and near the end of August in the second. And for our strawberries, we planted them near the end of October in the first year and near the beginning of October in the second. We used Sensation Florida 127, and we used 30 per subplot. For our experimental design, we used a split block experiment design with irrigation as the main plot factor and living mulch as a subplot factor. Due to limitations in space, we separated the irrigation into irrigation zones and split that into four blocks. And in each block, we had the living mulches subplots completely randomized for four treatments. For our conventional, we used the classic 9/64-inch Rainbird impact nozzles. And for the lower rate, we used the Netafim SuperNet because it had been used in some experiments, not in some actual systems, actually, in California. Some people use this emitter. For the living mulches, we used hairy indigo, sun hemp, and slenderleaf rattlebox because they had been reported in the literature as either being non-hosts or poor hosts for sting nematode, and in some cases also for root knot nematode. For the first year, we used 20 pounds per acre for hairy indigo, 40 for sun hemp, and then 40 for slenderleaf rattlebox. But as you can see in the images at the bottom, establishment was a little bit patchy, in particular for the hairy indigo and the sun hemp. So we increased that by 150% for the second year, and we also planted earlier in order to try to get a better stand. For our runoff and erosion data, we put landscape edging at the top and bottom of one of the row middles for each subplot. We allowed that water to run off of the subplot and then drain into buckets at the end of the subplot. These are our buckets. We captured that data for 8 days daily. And then for the erosion, we captured all of the erosion for all the 8 days, and then we took out the cloth pot that was inside the bucket at the end and weighed the erosion. For the infiltration, in the same row middle where we had the buckets, we buried lysimeters. We used soil pore water as a proxy for infiltration, and we gathered that daily for 8 days. For strawberry yield and plant growth parameters, we measured marketable and cull fruit number and weight. We did that for once or twice weekly, depending upon availability of labor, for 15 weeks in both seasons. And then we also measured canopy size, crown diameter, and leaf number. We measured that in the sixth harvest week in 2018 and the fifth harvest week in 2019. For our statistical analysis, we used statistical analytical software version 9.4. We used the GLIMMIX procedure. We measured significant differences by the Tukey-Cramer adjustment at 0.05 significance level. After measuring the amount of water that we used for the whole season, we used roughly 350,000 gallons per acre for the impact sprinkler section, and then roughly a third of that in both years for the micro sprinkler section. For the soil pore water runoff and erosion, our significant differences were that the soil pore water in the control section was actually higher overall than the hairy indigo and the sun hemp. And then we had significant differences for runoff in the first year, where the impact sprinkler section had more runoff than the micro sprinkler section. And for erosion, we had significant differences in both years, once again, where the impact sprinkler section was more than the micro sprinkler section. For the first 6 weeks, early yield, there were no significant differences for overall yield. But the quality of the berries in the second year was actually better. Average berry weight in the micro sprinkler section than in the impact sprinkler section. For the entire season, for the first year, the impact sprinkler section actually had greater average berry weight than the micro sprinkler section overall. And then in the second year, there was an interaction between the irrigation and living mulch, and when that was separated out, the control for the micro sprinklers had a higher average berry weight than the control for the impact sprinklers. To summarize, the micro sprinklers resulted in a 77% decrease in runoff in 2017 and no significant difference in 2018. They also resulted in a 79% and 49% erosion decrease in 2017 and 2018, respectively. The hairy indigo and the sun hemp resulted in 61% and 76% decreases in soil pore water, respectively. The living mulches had no significant effect on runoff or erosion, and the micro sprinklers and living mulches had no significant effect on either early or total strawberry yield. We concluded that micro sprinklers can maintain strawberry yield and berry quality while decreasing water use, runoff, and erosion. And I'd like to say, in particular, in Florida. So then they'd already used these in California, but they'd never been tested in Florida. And so this study is probably one of the first of its kind. Similar studies in Balm, Florida, where most of the strawberries are grown, may be helpful in further documenting these research findings. We actually did have a pilot study in the first year in Balm. We couldn't actually use it because a lot of things didn't go right. We'll just say that they went wrong. But that's why I repeated it in the second year in Citroen. Actually, we're going to do that anyway. So more research is needed to characterize the effects of living mulches on runoff and erosion in plastic culture. So then, if we planted something else in the row middles in this kind of a growing system, there might be significant results. There might not be. We just need more studies. I'd like to acknowledge the USDA Specialty Crop Block Grant by the United States Department of Agriculture through the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services for funding my research. And I want to, in particular, thank Sambhav and Tomas from Driscoll's for answering all of my questions about the strawberry production system. They're very helpful. Thank Edzard Van Santen and James Coley for statistics, Buck Nelson and his crew at the Citra location for helping me, and then everybody from the Chase Lab who supported me. Questions?
When you use less water, do you have a buildup of salinity in your fields?
It is possible that somebody could have a buildup of salinity in their soils. That was outside of the scope of our experiment, so we didn't actually measure salinity in the soil. But if somebody was concerned about that, they could flush the soil.
It's unlikely, because our uses. So how much do plug pumps use relative to micro sprinklers?
So then while I was doing my studies, some of my peers were actually doing studies with plug transplants, and you can reduce the water even to the point where you're not using overhead irrigation to establish. So then that would just be drip. It's definitely a really good way to decrease your water usage.
And is the industry interested in
moving
in that
direction? No, you're right. Actually, the industry is interested. I think at this point, according to the people I talked to from Driscoll's, about 20% of the industry is using plug transplants at this point. But they are more expensive than the bare root transplants to ship because they take up a lot more space. The bare root transplants are dry and they don't require medium. So, yeah, less expensive to ship.
Any other questions? I have a question for you.
Yeah.
For the cover crops, what was the differences between the biomass or any other parameters or the carbon that they're sequestering in the soil or any measurement on the cover crops you did?
Absolutely. We took a lot of measurements on the cover crops because it was outside of the scope of this, our hypotheses. I didn't present them here, but if you're interested in that data, I can totally give it to you. Overall, the sun hemp had more biomass than the other treatments. I believe that was the largest statistical finding.
Do you have to do any management, like mow them or how tall they get?
Those are relevant questions. The sun hemp in the second year actually got quite tall to the point where it could, it could potentially be an issue if it got any taller than that, but we didn't actually have any yield decreases anyway, so I don't know. it might be necessary to incorporate it and mow it down at a certain point because it can get very tall.
Would that be a problem for the harvest, like kind of you?
Yeah, so then when people are going through the aisles, you have to make sure that if you have a cover that it's not going to impede their motion. And so the ideal would probably be to mow the cover crop if it ended up being a tall cover crop before people harvested.
She doesn't recall that we did use a herbicide to burn it down.
Oh, you burned it down?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I did some work with the strawberries, and what we were trying to do was to use the cover crops that they don't produce a lot of biomass, because
right.
then the management would be an extra work on top of everything else.
Yeah, and yeah. She did consider that, but mm-hmm. the stuff that was stinging nematode resistant, and we couldn't find any really low growing stuff. That mm-hmm.
But that would be a wonderful thing to experiment. And
thank you very much. Thanks a lot.